Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, as we talk to you about our faith, Father, may we understand how important it is to have a healthy faith, to see God for who He is, to see others for who they are, and understand who we are, Father. I just pray that we will receive that from you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we were out to dinner yesterday with some friends of ours, and it seemed like there were two or three graduating parties at this restaurant that we were at. Everybody was excited about graduation. And I don't remember much about high school. There was a lot that I don't remember. I can remember something. One of the things that I remember about my graduation is the principal got up to speak to us. We didn't have a guest speaker back then. They do now, but back then it was just the principal that got up and spoke to the senior class. And he said, there's some things you're going to need to know once you leave this place. Things are going to change for you. You need to have a healthy body. You need to have a healthy mind. And you need to have a healthy faith. And of these three things, the most important thing you need to have is a healthy faith. Remember, was the old days, the good old days, when we could talk about faith and God and prayer in school.
Amen.
I remember that because when I was studying for this message today, it was about having a healthy faith. I'm going to be Dr. Phil here today. Dr. Phil always asks questions to get people to respond to what they're really feeling, how things are really going on. So Dr. David here is going to go. I want us to look deep into our faith. And there's three questions I want to ask you today about your faith. I need to kind of take our spiritual pulse here, just kind of see where our spiritual temperature is and our spiritual heartbeat. I want us to understand what it means to have a healthy faith. The first question I'm asking, let me read this scripture verse to you, Luke the 17th chapter. Jesus is talking to the apostles and he's telling them about forgiveness and all the things that he wants them to know before he leaves. And in verse 5 of chapter 17 it says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Have you ever prayed that? God, just give me more faith. Jesus says, and the Lord said, if ye had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That's a healthy faith. It's not how much faith you have. It's about having a healthy faith. Doesn't take much faith to do great things. And that's what Jesus was showing them here. So the first question I'm asking you today, what kind of healthy relationship do you have with God? We're Christians here. I can ask you that and you can say to me and God, we're just like this. We're tight. I want us to understand, why is our relationship with God like this? What is, you know, there are so many people whose relationship with God is based on fear and guilt. These people say, I had better shape up and obey the rules or God is going to get me. That is not a healthy relationship between you and God, because you make God the boogeyman. If I don't behave, God is going to get me. And that couldn't be further from the truth. God's not the boogeyman. He's our best friend.
Amen.
He's trying to find us and save us and bring us back into safety. God's not out to get us. Other people have this relationship with God built on this basing of self-worth. They say, boy, you know, I better be good because I want God to reward me and bless me and let me go home and live in heaven afterwards. You know, there are a lot of people like that. There are many people who have that belief. But that's an unhealthy approach to your relationship too, because it makes God this impersonal computer that's just going to react to what you do for what he should do. That's not the way it works. That's not the way God is. God is not this impersonal machine that's just going to react to what you do. God, Jesus, when he talks about God, he's talking about how his love for us is gracious and generous and compassionate, sacrificial, unconditional. God loves us even when we don't love him. If these people were right, how can bad things happen to good people? If you have this theory, I've got to do good so God will bless me, how come sometimes you're doing everything you can do to please God and things go down? God is not to react to what we do. God loves us regardless of our situation. God loves us even when we don't love him back. He's our Savior. He's like this parent that's out looking for a child that's been lost. He wants to find us and save us and redeem us and reclaim us and draw us back into his loving arms. I tell you all the time to do good things, not to make God love you. God already loves you. I'm not telling you to do good things to make God love you. He already loves you. You need to understand that and be so excited about the fact that God loves me regardless that you just can't sit still. You want to do good things.
What? What if you don't do good things?
I can't hear you.
What if you don't do good things?
What if you don't? Mm-hmm. You think God doesn't love you then? Can you tell me? Does God love you only when you do good things?
That's when I grow up good.
Huh?
That's when I grow up good.
That's when what? Why did God love you even before you became a Christian? God is good. Being good is not dependent on God's love. God loves us unconditionally. We have a hard time with that because we want to love people if they love us back. We want to love people if they do good things for us. We want to love them if they're the right kind of person. That's not the way God loves us. His love for us is unconditional. Now, are there consequences to our sin? You bet. But God is not the boogeyman out to get us. He's not. It's not where we have to go do good things so God will bless us. That's not who God is. He loves us unconditionally, and He's going to bless us. He wants us to do good things. But He wants us to understand that He loves us regardless. His most significant promise to us is that He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's always going to be by our side. He's going to give us strength for whatever circumstances or difficult challenge comes along or obstacles we face. We just got to trust Him.
Amen.
You just got to remember the disciples in the boat sailing across the Sea of Galilee. The waves come up. They're doing everything they can to save themselves. They're at their wit's end. They run down below the boat, and Jesus is down there, and it says He's sleeping. They are so angry that Jesus would sleep through this mess. And they wake Him up and they say, "Jesus, don't you care that we're about to perish? Do you not even care about that?" Jesus spoke to the sea. The waves were calm. Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of unhealthy faith. You didn't trust Me. Of course I care about you. Of course I love you. But you don't have the faith to trust Me in that. If you want to have a healthy relationship with God, you have to trust Him. As I said before, you do your best and trust God to do the rest." When we're talking about Pentecost here, remember Simon Peter was about to stand up and preach on that first day of Pentecost. And he cries out, "Oh God, help me. Oh God, please be with me." God was with him. God gave him the words to speak and the courage to speak it. And His Spirit poured over these people, 3,000 people. Were converted that day because Peter did his best and trusted God for this. If you want to have a healthy relationship with God, you got to trust Him. You got to believe in Him. You got to trust Him. Do your part, but trust God. Let me ask you, how is your relationship with other people? Next to your relationship to God, your relationship with other people is the most important thing you can do. We talk so much about loving one another and caring about one another. It's so important how we treat other people. Our symbol of Christianity is not a clenched fist. It's an open hand. Not that we fight off each other, but that we lift each other up. We celebrate each other. We hold hands with those people that are our Christian brothers and sisters. That's who our calling is. That's what we were called to do. so many times we see other people as our enemies, our adversaries, that need to be destroyed. But who other people are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to hold hands with them. We need to learn this lesson. It's important how we treat other people. This is a church with a lot of people with disabilities. I know y'all have been looked down upon before. We can't treat other people because of the way they look. We can't treat other people by whatever race they have. We can't, and Priscilla talked about judging people earlier. We judge people by what we see. And I could be one of the world's worst about this many years ago. I changed that now. I used to would look at somebody and I would judge them just by the way they looked. There are people who judge people by the color of their skin. There are people who judge people by the clothes they wear. That's not a healthy relationship with other people. Our relationship with other people should be built on kindness and gentleness and love and respect. That's how we should be treating other people. You want to have a healthy relationship with God, you need to have this healthy relationship with other people. And the last thing I want to ask you is, how is your relationship with yourself? Listen, more and more people have this thing called low self-esteem. It's important for us as Christians to have a healthy, wholesome, high self-esteem. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. So often we want to look at us as the failures in the past, and that's who we are. That's not who you are. That may have been who you used to be. But once you accept Jesus Christ in your life, doesn't the Bible say that you've been made a new creature?
Amen.
That all the old things have passed away? Now, we need to understand that people with poor self-esteem, they don't like themselves. Mm-hmm. And they become problems to themselves and to the world. Listen, we've all known how people with low self-esteem have turned to a life of crime, violence, and drugs. And it's because they don't like themselves and they just want to feel better about themselves, so they don't care, their morals are not up to a standard that we would expect, and they don't really care what other people think. They do, but they tell themselves they don't. When you're around somebody who's always negative, always complaining, always unhappy, always criticizing other people, judging other people, and you can be sure that these people have a low self-esteem. They may be brash and arrogant on the outside, but on the inside it's just full of bitterness and hatred and this low self-esteem. They don't like themselves. We as Christians can't fall into that category. We have to be able to have a high self-esteem. Not because of what we've done, but because we have Jesus living inside of us. We have Jesus inside of us. And we have to see ourselves as God sees us. We're a chosen generation. We're special people. We're royal. And that's how we need to see ourselves. Not to be bragging about how great we are. We need to be bragging about how great Jesus is inside of us.
Right. David, I've been out my family. I was a good, I didn't need nobody. I thought I didn't need anybody, and I was like, oh, my goodness, but I think I wanted to be open and tell the people they had to still have all the people in here, but I just didn't want to go help me.
What we need to learn, Kelly, is it's about the person that's inside of us, this Jesus Christ that's inside of us. That's what it's all about. When we have low self-esteem, when things are going good, we're just all happy and great, and things are going good. But when things go bad, who are we going to blame? We're going to blame somebody else. That's what we're going to do, because we have this low self-esteem. We can't blame ourselves. We'll have to blame others. But we know deep down inside that we have failed and we don't have any place to go, and people with low self-esteem just don't have the ability, that's why so many people just give up. So many people just quit. So many people just throw in the towel because they just say there's just no use. But I got good news for you. That God that gave Peter, remember Peter, it's on this Pentecostal Sunday. This is the same guy who denied Jesus three times. This is the same guy who had given up when Jesus was crucified. His self-esteem had to have been shot. And even though Christ came to him and found him and forgave him, still his self-respect was not restored until the Holy Spirit filled him up and restored him on that Pentecostal Sunday. After that, Peter's self-esteem was restored, renewed, and he gave God all the glory. If you want to have a healthy faith, you need a healthy relationship with God, not built on grief and being afraid. It can't be a relationship built on well, I need to do this or God will bless me. Our self-esteem, our relationship with God has to be built on, I'm going to trust God. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. No matter what the circumstances, I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
You want to have a healthy faith, trust God. You want to have a healthy relationship with other people, treat them with love and kindness and forgiveness and respect like God treats you. Love them like God loves you. Unless you've got this healthy relationship with God, it's hard to be at this healthy relationship with other people. Because it's hard to love people like God loves us unless we truly feel the love of God in our lives. And then we need to have a healthy respect for ourselves. We need to have a high self-image of ourselves. We need to see God. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. It's important to have a healthy faith. More important than anything else is your healthy faith. And I am so proud of the people that come to this church, that are part of this ministry, that understand what it means to have a healthy faith. And I thank you for that. Y'all inspire me many times when my faith is not so healthy. When my faith is looking at the circumstances, situations, maybe I'm not treating other people the way they should be treated. And you show me. That's not who I am. That's not who God created me to be. It's not who you are either. We are chosen. Like Larry said in his testimony, we were chosen in the beginning of time. God chose us. He elected us. He selected us. We are special. You need to understand that. You need to walk in that. Let's have a healthy faith. If you want to have healthy faith, it depends on how you see God, how you see other people, how you see yourself. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, I understand that sometimes it's so hard to have our healthy faith. But Father, you said that if we just have the faith, a healthy faith, the size of a mustard seed, we can do great things. Father, it's not about the size of our faith. It's about the health of our faith. Are we trusting you, God? Are we truly trusting you? I pray today, Father, if there'll be people here today that really haven't trusted you in times, that they're looking at you as somebody to pass out punishment, pass out blessings, and they're not really understanding that, God, you love them regardless, unconditionally. And we just need to trust you. Father, I pray that we'll learn to treat other people better. We'll be less judgmental, more forgiving, less condemning, and understand that, you know what, everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And Father, be willing to receive people, to lead them to you, Father, to show them that you love them unconditionally. Father, may we feel better about ourselves. We don't have to be labeled as what we were. It's not important what we did in the past. It's what we're going to do in the future for you that matters. Father, I thank you that we can claim this right now. That we can forget about the past. And we can become brand new creatures, perfect, and in a position to do great things for you. Not because we're so good, Father, but because Jesus Christ lives in us. Father, I thank you. I bless you. And amazed by your love and kindness and mercy for us. May we receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever God is asking you to do,